This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either through regular mail or through the website. And remember, a copy of this program is on the website and a copy of my weekly meditation is there. So if you want the website address or my regular mailing address, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today is Father's Day, and it is interesting that the passage we're going to look at has to do with offending little ones. And so while I don't want to say a whole lot about fathers today, I do want to recognize that fathers have a great influence on the children that they bring into this world and often on other children that they're raising. And we need to be careful, as the passage is going to tell us, not to offend or stumble one of these little ones. Now, the little ones in our passage could be those who are young in Christ. It could be those who are physically young, and I'm going to take it both ways. We are not to stumble those who are young in Christ. We are not to stumble those who are physically young. Now, the difference is that if we are looking at this passage from the standpoint of one who is young in Christ, what we're trying to do is keep them from enjoying their relationship with the Lord. While when we look at stumbling a child, normally we're looking at doing something that would keep them from believing in the Lord. But in any case, if we are in any way, as fathers, turning little ones away from a good and proper relationship with the Lord is not looking kindly on that kind of activity. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, where it says, "Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that offenses should come." I'm reading that wrong. "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. I'm sure that it would be impossible for most of us to carry out the instructions that were given in this passage, that we are to forgive a person over and over again if he comes to you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Why, we would take the attitude, would we not, that he doesn't really mean what he says. And after the first or second approach on this particular matter, we would probably walk away from the man or take him to law or whatever else we could do to solve this problem. But the Lord is making it clear that forgiveness is basic to the Christian life. Now, as we look at this passage, it says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, in this life, there are going to be offenses. And I find it interesting that we would like to believe that we can teach our children in sort of a vacuum today, particularly in public school. We give the impression that we should not in any way try to mold their thinking about spiritual matters. And yet I realize that not any of us, there's none of us, but what, when we talk to others, when we talk to children, when we talk to our friends and neighbors, the spiritual background that we have, the spiritual understanding that we have, our spiritual values that we have, they are reflected in who we are. We cannot teach in a vacuum. Knowing that, it's interesting that by and large, the Bible has been taken out of school and secular humanism has been placed in school as though secular humanism is better than the Bible. Now, the problem with teaching the Bible is that we have people from religions that do not use the Bible as their basic standard of belief that are going to our schools today. So I understand the problem, and I'm not saying I have a solution for the problem, but I am saying that we can't teach in a vacuum. And so while we can't teach in a vacuum, and while we've tried to be very careful not to promote Christianity over other religions in our public schools, yet at the same time, it seems to me that there is a religion that we have promoted over any other. And that religion is, as I've said, secular humanism, and it's based on science, so-called. And so there is a tendency today to try to teach our children that anything that cannot be taught or proven scientifically should not be believed. And the Bible is looked at as an archaic book of myths and allegories and parables, and the children today do not have a basic belief in the God of this world who has given us his word to guide us, to reach us so that we might be saved or born again. They don't understand this Bible. And so I think that all of us who have taken that approach to life have stumbled the little ones. We haven't given them a foundation, the foundation that they need. Now we say, well, that foundation should be found in our churches, and that's true. But how many of us as fathers and as mothers are taking our children to churches that are preaching the truth? Most of us are going to ball games and tennis tournaments and golf tournaments and racing, racetracks and all other kinds of things on Sunday. We're not taking our children regularly to a church that preaches the truth of the gospel. Now, I realize that our public schools are between a rock and a hard spot. And even though they're between a rock and a hard spot, I realize that every teacher that stands before a child reflects values to that child, and they need to be careful about the values that they reflect there. But in our churches, we should be reflecting the right values. But if our children don't get there, how can they learn the truths that they need to make decisions in life and to make decisions about their own relationship with this one who is called the Christ? How can they be sure that they have all the facts they need for their own spiritual well-being and the decisions associated with their spiritual well-beings? And I think that simply by neglect, we are offending little ones today. I'm a firm believer in the fact that children need to know the Bible. They need to know John 3:16. We find that 20, 30 years ago, we could talk to children and we could say, do you know John 3:16? And they would quote it for us. Today, there are people who see those signs at football games that say John 3:16 on them, and they ask those of us who are familiar with the Bible, what does that mean? They do not know what John 3:16 says and what it means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, the basic truth is that if we ourselves are not right with God, we're not likely to teach our children how to be right with God. And I'm a firm believer in the fact that there's only one way to be right with God, and that's by believing what God says in the Bible. I know that we have to have respect for people who have not been raised the way we've raised them, but my respect for those people shows concern for their souls. I would like to be able to find the avenue to teach them about the loving God that's found in our Bible. I would like to teach them that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ, and that Christ is far superior to any prophet who claims to have had insight since the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth. I would like to teach them the truth of the Bible and the peace that comes with believing. But instead, we're living our lives oftentimes in such a way that those who have gone to Sunday school and have come to faith in Christ are not able to enjoy their relationship with Christ. That is, they're not encouraged in that relationship. And worse than that, we're living our lives in such a way that many children are not even being exposed to the Bible. And I can guarantee you that even If, and it's, this is not true, but even if the Bible were not true and people lived by it, they would be better off than the people who do not live by it. It orders our society. It makes us good neighbors. It gives us a peace about our spiritual condition that we cannot have without it. And so the Bible is not detrimental. The Bible is helpful, and people need to understand the Bible, and we as fathers need to make sure our children are taught the truth, the truths that are found in the Bible. The Lord Jesus is the answer to this world's problems. I believe that, and I hope you believe it too. And the Lord says, if we are amongst those who stumble, little ones, it would be better for us that a millstone were hanged around his neck and we were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. In other words, if we're people who are turning people away from Christ, arguing against the truth of Scripture, God says that it would, our judgment is going to be severe. And then he tells people to forgive one another. And this is probably the basic way that we stumble others. It's through not being willing to forgive. The Lord, when he died at the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He offered forgiveness to the whole world. And now, oftentimes, we who claim to be saved in a hypocritical manner will not forgive others. Now, I realize that when we forgive others, that doesn't mean that we immediately trust them. And when we forgive others, we release them to the Lord. We quit trying to control them. But that does not mean that we are often reconciled to them. Now, if they come and actually repent and we forgive them, we should be reconciled to them just as we're reconciled to God when we accept his forgiveness. He offers it. We repent and receive it. That brings about reconciliations. There has to be a two-way street in these matters. And so, if your brother comes to you and says, I have sinned, and he repents, and you forgive him, there should be reconciliation. But again, that doesn't always mean that right away we have reestablished trust in the relationship. Well, I understand that. But forgiveness is the cornerstone of our relationship with God. And if God has forgiven us and we have accepted that forgiveness, how can we not forgive others? Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I believe one of the greatest stumbling blocks we see when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel is this matter of Christians who cannot forgive one another. Either they will never admit they're wrong, or if they do admit they're wrong and come for forgiveness, that forgiveness by the person who should be forgiving them is not given. Folks, thank God he has forgiven us. We should forgive others so that we do not stumble people and keep them from enjoying a relationship with Christ that gives them peace. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and our blessing upon those who have listened as we commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.